Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We are continuing to consider how to respond with theology when we are under the burden of anxiety, right? Anxiety is a little hard to figure out, and it's complicated, but we all agree there's a sinful side to it. Yes, there's godly concern, but that can grow until, as Paul Tauchus called it in his 31-day devotional on anxiety, he said it's like distracted concern. So yeah, you've got concerns, but now it's a distracted. You're not thinking about the Lord. You're trying to take the matters into your own hands, and it is eating you up emotionally, physically, spiritually. And we need to strike back. I said last time that we can default to just the sovereignty of God, which is a wonderful truth and very helpful against anxiety and worry to know that God is in control. But if we open our theology books and understand all that the Bible teaches about the main categories of theology, we will have a whole arsenal of weaponry against anxiety when it attacks. Let's think about Jesus, specifically the second person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. And we think about what we know in the Bible about Jesus that would specifically speak to our anxious hearts, all right? One thing that we know is Jesus knows about it. He knows about it and he cares about it. A couple of verses in the book of Hebrews really reminds us of the humanity of Jesus. Hebrews 2, 17 and 18 say, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Jesus has been there. He's done that. He knows experientially about some of the pressures of life where we are tempted to take our eyes off the Lord. Of course, he didn't take his eyes off the Father, which is another wonderful truth about Jesus that's going to help us with our worry. But it's just critical for us to know that he's able to help because he's experienced it firsthand. What are the temptations that trip you up? What are the circumstances that trip you up into being tempted to worry? Jesus never experienced Atlanta traffic. That's fine. But Jesus was tempted by the devil himself after not having eaten as he's fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, tempted by Satan himself. It's amazing. You know, we think sometimes when we sin, the temptation meter turns off because the devil won and we blew it and we sinned. Well, Jesus never sinned. The temptation meter didn't stop cranking up until he completely won and defeated the devil. It's amazing. Jesus knows about the circumstances you're going through. He knows about the temptation to get off of the Lord's path and take the exit into sinful worry, the fostering of cares, being distracted by the things of the world. Another verse in Hebrews is Hebrews 4:15.
which says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus is a faithful high priest. He has been tempted and he never sinned, but he completely sympathizes with our weaknesses. I quoted 1 Peter 5:7 specifically. It seems to be more about God the Father, but casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you would certainly be directly applicable to Jesus as well. He does care, and he is very willing to receive our burdens as we unload them onto his very throne. It's a precious thought. Another wonderful thought that Jesus specifically, what the Bible tells us about Jesus can help us counter-strike our anxiety is the very teachings of Jesus. Of course, Matthew chapter 6 is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and that's where Jesus said not to be anxious. 3 different times, he said, "Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look to your heavenly Father. He cares more about you than he cares about birds and flowers. He will take care of you." These were words straight from Jesus. Jesus also said in that same context to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of, will be added to you. Jesus tells us not to be anxious. So he has a lot to say about our battle with worry. Another thing we learn about Jesus is that he never sinned one time. Of course, we just read that in Hebrews 4:15, "One who is in every respect been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus qualifies to be our Savior because he was perfectly holy. He was tempted like we are tempted with the same thing, and yet he showed the way. He gave us a godly example of keeping God the Father in his thinking, in his earthly mind, when going through some of the harshest temptations and tests and trials that are even imaginable on earth. And of course, he died for all of your anxiety. The Bible's very clear about that, isn't it? Jesus died for your sins, including the sin of worry. And what a precious, glorious truth that is as well. So he loves you. He cares for you. He understands. He gave you a good example to follow. And he died for every time you've ever been tempted to cross the line from godly concern into sinful anxiety. Another teaching of the scripture is that Jesus rose from the dead. So we're considering theology and how theology helps us counterattack anxiety and the battles that we experience. Well, what's more anxious than dying? Or what's more tempting to be anxious than dying? Well, Jesus did it and killed death for all eternity by resurrecting, by rising again from the grave. I mean, when you think of the things that you are burdened about, when you factor in the resurrection of Jesus, how does it stack up? I remember hearing John Stone Street on a podcast. I got to hear him live once, and he was just talking about the different cares of the world global situation, and how difficult it is. But he said, "Be encouraged. Jesus did not go back into the grave." And I remember being struck by hearing that, just that thought. It's like, it's absolutely true, isn't it? He didn't go back in the grave. Jesus is alive, and that makes all the difference in the world. Not only did it prove everything he said and taught was real and right, not only did it prove he conquered death, it proved as well that we too will conquer death, and that this life is not all that there is. And the greatest burdens we experience in this life don't measure up next to the resurrection life of eternity. One more about Jesus, one more teaching I want to just highlight as we look at the theological counterstrike of our understanding of Christ is that he is praying for you. It says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What a glorious truth. Jesus, the Savior, not only did he die for you, not only did he rise again from the dead, he is praying for you. In other words, when you stumble into sin, specifically we're looking at the sin of worry, Jesus can appeal to God the Father not to judge you for that sin by showing the Father his very wounds as he died for that sin. He's praying for your strength and stamina. He's advocating for you before God the Father. I mean, it's wonderful to know people are praying for you. It's very special to know that the Lord himself is praying for you. But we have to take a break. Don't worry, we'll be back, right? After the break, we want to consider another area of theology and how it counterstrikes when anxiety attacks.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Crotts in just a moment. But he mentioned that Jesus is praying for you right now. He's interceding for us as Christians. So even when you're struggling and you're worrying and you're stumbling into anxiety, Christ is praying for you. He's interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. And that changes the entire conversation about worry. And you know what I've been noticing? People are desperate for resources, just like what Dr. Crotts is talking about today. I'm talking about resources that actually address this intersection of theology and your actual life. Not pop psychology with Bible verses sprinkled on top of it. No, I'm talking about what Dr. Crotts is doing, the exact thing that he's doing, which is bringing biblical truth to real things that we're facing. That's what people need. And that's exactly the vision behind everything we're building here at Fortis Institute. Take Fortis Plus, for example. It is loaded with hundreds of hours of audio and video content. I'm talking about videos and podcasts, long-form resources, all designed to help you connect biblical truth to your actual life. And we're doing it absolutely free. That's right, completely free, because we believe everyone should have access to resources that help them integrate faith into their real life. Just download Fortis Plus right now from wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can simply go to fortisplus.org. Now, let me tell you exactly how that is possible, how we provide all of our content for free. It's because of you. That's right. It's because of people just like you. You might not even realize this, but behind every single episode of Integrated or any of our other podcasts, there's a team of people working to ensure that this content reaches you. And it's not cheap to produce this content. And that's where our gospel partners come in. Men and women just like you who believe in the content that we've been producing and providing, and people who want to stand with us and link arms with us so that we can continue this work of providing content to more people in more places all over the world. When you join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're investing in resources that help people understand not just what to believe, but how those beliefs actually transform their lives. If you're already faithfully giving to your local church, which is your number one giving priority, and you have a margin to join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be forever grateful. You can find out more about what it would look like right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back to Dr. John Crotts now. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotts.
Welcome back. Today we are continuing to consider how theology helps us to counterstrike when anxiety attacks us. And we want to consider now the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. When the Bible teaches us about the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, is there anything about the Bible's teaching about the Holy Spirit that can help me with my sinful anxiety? The answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. One thing is the Holy Spirit gives us the power to kill our sins, right? That's Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The Holy Spirit is the power source for our fight against sin. And we've said, and I've qualified it plenty of times, and I will continue to qualify it, anxiety is complicated, right? There are physical dimensions to it. There are emotional dimensions, spiritual dimensions. There's godly concern on the same scale, but somewhere on that scale, there's a line to where godly concern can evolve into sinful worry. And so we're specifically focusing on sinful worry when we're saying that anxiety is attacking us. And I think even people who are focused more on the physical dimensions, maybe you've got a physical problem going on and your doctor needs to check it out or that kind of thing. Obviously, many people take various medications to try to treat the symptoms of anxiety. But we all know there is a spiritual dimension to every physical problem. And we're focusing on that. And when it comes to crossing the line into sinful worry, then we need power. We need help to fight against that. When that, you can just imagine yourself, your body kind of like a test tube that's filling up with a liquid. I think in pictures sometimes. And when you think of anxiety, just kind of stirring up from your toes to your knees to your waist and just up to your chest and up to your head and up to your neck, you're going to drown in some of those feelings. It feels that way. Isn't it wonderful to know the Holy Spirit is with you? He's in you. He cares very much about your fight against sin. In fact, I think it's fair to say the Holy Spirit cares more about your holiness than you do. Right? The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to care about our holiness. And so He is going to help you to fight against your sin. It's so important. It's great to know He's with us. You're not alone. Even in your most difficult circumstances, when you're distracted away from thinking about God, you are thinking about the cares of this world, the burdens of life without thinking about God, the Holy Spirit is still right there. God is still with you. So Jesus promised His disciples that He was going to send the Holy Spirit to help them. And that those are great truths. We've actually looked at them in other episodes of Integrated, John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Wow. These are incredible, tender words from the Lord Jesus about the Helper, the Holy Spirit who is coming. But when I was thinking about this episode, I thought, you know what? Jesus said these words to the disciples in an incredibly tempting situation for them. They were tempted to worry like nobody was tempted to worry. They were hearing from Jesus that He was about to suffer and die on the cross. And indeed, He would suffer and die in just a few days' time. This was the upper room discourse right before the cross. And so, I mean, we're just right, I would just say hours before Jesus died on the cross, because Judas went out at the Last Supper and went to betray Jesus. And this is when He's talking to them. And so it's on, right? They're going to go straight from here to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so the disciples could read the room. They knew this was an ominous time. They were worried. They were tempted to worry. And so when Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, it is in the ultimate context of temptation to sin and worry. And he's promising peace. And he's promising a peace not like the world gives. It is going to be the right thing. It is going to work because the Holy Spirit is going to dwell with you forever as believers. How wonderful is that? All right, another passage in the same section of the Upper Room Discourse, John 16, 6 and 7. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. All right. Jesus says, don't be grieved. Don't be sorrowful. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. It is your advantage. So the Holy Spirit, knowing about the Holy Spirit, that helps us in every way in our fight against sin. What else does the Bible teach us about the Holy Spirit that could counter-strike anxiety? Well, I thought about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, which says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Remember, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not a power, just a generic power source. He's a he. He's the third person of the Godhead. And he reveals himself in the scripture emotionally, right? So he is grieved. I know theologians talk about that and it gets to be a complicated discussion of how that is and all of that. But just as he's revealing himself to us in ways we can relate to, he says that when we sin, now he's specifically talking about sins of our tongue, right? Talking, speaking poorly about others and being angry and bitter and filled with wrath and that sort of thing. But worry is a sin as well. And so we're right to assume worry also grieves the Holy Spirit. That's helpful for us to know. It's not just affecting you. It's not just you being eaten up with anxiety. You're also grieving the Holy Spirit who's in you. And I think we can make the case as well that when we do right, when we think about God, when we honor him, we also are pleasing to the Lord. So if you want to say it a little bit, sounds a little crass to say it like this, but we can make the Holy Spirit happy by the power of the Holy Spirit as we seek to honor God in the midst of our tempting thoughts. When our thoughts are tempted to worry and we trust God instead, we make the Holy Spirit happy. And one final truth, it's the same thing we learned about our theology of Jesus. In our theology of the Holy Spirit, the Bible also reveals that the Holy Spirit prays for us as well. Back in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it's where Paul says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Isn't it encouraging to know that when it's so bad, you don't even know what to pray, the Holy Spirit does know what to pray and is praying for you. We're fighting against our sin. We're struggling against our worry. The worry has sometimes been called the acceptable sin because it's so common. I think if you had people, you know, do a little survey and say, okay, who's committed adultery? You might have a few reluctant hands go up. But if you are in the same room and say, okay, who's worried? Oh, I think most everybody's hand would shoot up at some point. Well, why is there not the same sense of shame and grief over that sin? Because we've sinned in doing that. It's not the acceptable sin. It is a sin, but oh, there's help. Theology helps us knowing what the Bible reveals about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit, that helps a lot. We can go beyond just the fact that God's in control to learn so many wonderful truths from God's Word that help us directly fight against the sin of worry. So let's not just know these things, let's put them into practice and do God's Word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.